Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your scriptures to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 here this morning. We're in part 2 of our series, Alive, You Can Thrive Past 55. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, we'll be touching off here in just a few moments. I want to begin this morning by asking you this question. When you are dead and gone, what will your life have mattered? When you're young, you have dreams of changing the world, right? You have dreams of accomplishing so much, and you have dreams of making a huge difference. Dreams of leaving your mark on life. You launch out into a world of action, education, work, activity. Decades pass swiftly by, and suddenly you find yourself over that hill, coming down the back slope of life, looking now at all of your accomplishments and simply wondering, what have I accomplished? What mark have I left on this world? How will I be remembered? What legacy will I leave behind? This can be a matter of great frustration. In our scripture reading this morning, we read from Ecclesiastes 1:11 and 2:16, and Solomon talked about the fact that many times people are frustrated because they don't feel like they're going to be remembered after they live this life. Something inside of humans wants to be remembered, and we're concerned that we'll not be remembered. And so people want to leave a legacy. They want to something that will leave its mark, that will say, my life made a difference. My life and the impact of it will be carried on. I will be remembered. People want to leave a legacy. And so they resort to different things at times. Sometimes it's charity work. They endow large hospitals and colleges with money, hoping that some room or some piece of furniture or even a building will be named after them, because people want to leave a legacy. There's something about the senior years that causes this matter of a legacy to be more upon people's minds. As they get older, they get closer to the finish line. They get closer to that time in their life in which they'll be leaving this world, and they'll be leaving things behind. When presidents come to the end of their terms, the media suddenly is all abuzz about the legacy that a president will be leaving behind. And so in our series, Alive, You Can Thrive Past 55, I believe it's important for us to talk about leaving a legacy. Now, maybe today you're a long way from 55 on the early side of it. Maybe you're a long way from 55 and you're not even thinking about legacy yet. You're not even thinking about all those sorts of things. And I want to submit to you today that you ought to be thinking about the legacy that you're going to leave behind. Folks that are nearing the finish line, or folks that are in the backside of life and coming down the hill, as it were, however you want to describe it there, and wherever they may fall in that, sure, they're going to be thinking about it because they're getting closer to the finish line. And yes, I want to encourage you today that there are many things that you can do as a senior citizen, if I can describe it that way, to leave a legacy. But you who are on the front side of life, you who aren't even on the hill yet, let alone on the top yet, you have an opportunity here to look at your life and to make decisions now to put in place a legacy. Instead of coming to the end of your life and saying, boy, I wish I would have done some things different, you can gain some Bible truths from this message on the legacy that you will leave behind. When you are done, when your race is finished, when your life is over, how will you be remembered? What sort of legacy will you leave behind in your life? What sort of things and impact will you have made? If you're going to thrive past 55, you must leave a legacy. So my question is, what's a legacy? What does this word legacy even mean? The dictionary tells us it's something that's handed down to others. It might be a gift. It might be money. It might be property. It can be an inheritance. It can be an heirloom. It can be an endowment. Simply put, a legacy is a gift handed down to others. It's what you leave behind. Your legacy is what you leave behind. And as we think about a thriving past 55, what are we going to leave behind when our journey on this earth is complete? What gift will you be handing down to others? Younger people, as you're planning your life and as you're thinking about the ingredients that you're going to put into your life and the accomplishments that you are going to be trying to do and the things that you want to do, what things are you going to be leaving behind? Senior citizens, what legacy are you going to leave behind? You know, today you might not have the money to leave a legacy of building a building at the U of M. You might not have the power of a president to change a country and to change a world and have that as your legacy. You might not even be famous enough to warrant a page on Wikipedia with your name on it. But you know what? You, every person in this room, can leave a legacy. Every one of you in this room, you may not have money, you may not have power, you may not have fame and prestige, but you can leave a legacy. You can hand something down to others. You can leave something behind that matters. And the Word of God gives us four principles to help us understand the kind of legacy that we ought to leave behind. And I want you to see those. And I want you, if you're a senior citizen, I want you to be encouraged and challenged to use these years to build that legacy. If you're someone that's a younger person, you be thinking about now what you need to put in place with all of your life so that you leave a legacy. If you're going to thrive past 55, you must leave the right legacy, the right gifts behind. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to focus on all different aspects of life, especially our senior years. And Lord, you tell us to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And Lord, many of us are at this point. Many of us will be at this point in our lives in the future. And so help us to see the wisdom of living right now so that we leave behind a godly legacy. I pray that you would change our habits, change our actions, change our ways of thinking so that we would be different and we would leave a godly legacy. Do this work in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We read the familiar scripture in Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. You're not there, but I'll just read it to you. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, I trust you have it before you, it says something similar where it says, a good name is better than precious ointment and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Number one, as you're thinking about your legacy, the scripture teaches us that you should leave the gift of a good name. Leave the gift of a good name. The book of Ecclesiastes is the book of the preacher. That's what the name Ecclesiastes means. It means preacher. And the preacher has a message. And in this particular portion of Ecclesiastes, he is preaching about adversity. Don't you just love adversity? Isn't that so exciting? None of us love adversity. We don't get excited about adversity. In fact, it's one of the reasons that he brings it up in Ecclesiastes, because adversity causes us to be mad at God, to whine and complain at God for the difficult things that come into our lives. And so he's working through that in this passage, talking about it here. But he wants you to realize in this passage, in chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, that God may be giving you something better through the difficulties of life, through your adversity. I don't think that way very naturally, do I don't. Maybe you do. You don't naturally think, well, this is great, this is hardship, this is trouble, God is giving me something better. No, we usually think better would be to not be in this situation. And so what he tries to do is to help us understand, look, God could be doing something better than what you think through this. And he gives several different scenarios here in these first 10 verses where what we would think would be better naturally isn't always the case. Something else is better. All right, and so like at the end of verse number 7, or verse number 1, excuse me, chapter 7, verse 1, the day of death, then the day of one's birth. All right, there's a sense in which it's better to be done with the race. Then he talk about in verse number 2, the house of mourning, that's the funeral home. And he says there's a sense in which it's better to go to the funeral home than it is to go to a party. It's better for your life. And on throughout these first 10 verses, he gives you several different things where you wouldn't think it's better, but it really is. To bring out the point that your adversity is better than you think. But one of the ones that he illustrates is at the beginning of verse number 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. Precious ointment was something that was very valuable. It took a lot of wealth to have this ointment. We read in the New Testament, don't we, of the woman who has that box of alabaster ointment. And that one box of alabaster ointment is worth almost a year's worth of wages. It was expensive. It was costly. If you had this amount of ointment, you were a wealthy person. And so in Proverbs 22:1, he says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Here in Ecclesiastes 7:1, he gives you an example of great riches. Having such riches that you could buy this lotion and this cream and this sweet smelling ointment. It was riches. And what he basically says here, if you want to summarize it in simple words, reputation is better than riches. Your reputation is better than your riches. And you know what? That's an important thing for us to remember. And that's why we said point number one, leave the gift of a good name. People work really hard to have riches past 55. They get IRAs. They get their 401ks, their 403bs, and they invest in them and invest in them. And they make all sorts of moves in order to try to get companies that are going to help out with that sort of thing. They get property that they hope is going to appreciate in value. They buy properties and try to have rental income and to do that as well. They're trying to do all these different things so that they have lots and lots of income past 55. They'll read books. They'll listen to podcasts. They're working to make that nest egg so that when they hit the retirement years, whenever their years starts, they have enough money to retire. They have enough money to be taken care of. And that's an important thing. They work hard to have those riches. They work hard to have that wealth. And what's Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, as much as you work to have the riches, as much as you work to have that wealth, a good name is better than that. Your reputation, your character is better than that. Listen, let me ask this question. Do you work just as hard at developing your character as you do at becoming rich when you retire? Are you just as concerned about doing right as you are concerned that the stock market is going to help your nest egg to grow as it ought to grow here? Are you more determined in your life to have a good reputation at home than you are determined to have that little bit of extra money that you want to be able to spend on all these different things? What kind of character, what kind of reputation, what kind of name do you have? Leave the gift of a good name, of good character. It's amazing to me, AARP magazine reports that the rates for STDs for the ages 45 and older went up 20% in 1 year from 2015 to 2016. Because older adults are not always known for having great character and morals either. We sometimes think that it's just the young people. Sometimes we think it's just them. But no, it's not always the case. Have a good name. Have good character here. Ointment is very valuable and precious and expensive here. The smell is there, but after a while it's worn off. But the smell of your character will stay around. What character should you have? Titus chapter number 2, verses 2 through 5 tells us the kind of character that a person past 55, if I can say it that way, should have. Here it is. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. This is the character that God has described here. Sometimes here in our lives, we look at the wealthy people. We look at the plush homes and the fancy mansions that they have and the incredible vehicles and all the different toys and hobbies and fun that they can have. And we look at their life and we say, oh, I just wish I had those riches. And what Solomon says is, no. Quit envying them and say, I just wish I had people. I was a person of reputation, a person of character, a person with a great name, a person of godliness here. That's who you ought to be envying. That's who you ought to be passionate about. You're obsessed with planning for your senior years here, and you want to be financially secure in that time. How obsessed are you that your character is going to be what it's supposed to be? How obsessed are you that your tongue is going to be under control? How obsessed are you that in your senior years, your attitude and temper are going to be what they ought to be? How obsessed are you that your reputation is all it ought to be? How obsessed are you that you're going to be sober-minded, as Titus 2, chapter 2 says, that you're going to be sober and serious about spiritual things, that you're going to be grave and dignified as an older gentleman, as an elderly lady, as a godly lady, to have that dignity, that gravity, that honor about you here? Are you obsessed with that? We can look at the neighbors and they go south every year to their second home in Arizona, and you're jealous and you just wish that you had the money that they have here. But I wonder if you had just as much passion to be a woman of godliness, a woman that's godly in her life and how she lives her life. Instead of envying the riches, do you envy the reputation that's there? It's a matter of character. This name that you have built for yourself is something that you're going to pass on. Are you going to be happy to pass it on to your children? Will they be thankful that they grew up in your family and have your name? Will they be thankful to have you walk them down the aisle on their wedding day? Is your name such that when it is spoken of, people will think good thoughts? Or is your name such that their eyes will roll and there'll be words that are muttered and there'll be sarcastic comments that are there, awkward, tense responses that are there? What is your name going to be like when you leave it behind? Are you working on your character? People over 55 can still grow and change in their character. What things have changed in your life? What characteristics are different in your life? How have you grown? How have certain things gone out of your life that need to be taken care of, and certain things you've brought into your life that ought to be there? How have you grown and changed in these senior years of your life? Are you allowing the adversities of life to soften you and mellow you in the grace of God? You ought to be growing. Hey, don't be like Maxine. Do you know who Maxine is? I don't even know if she's there or not. And Maxine is a main figure on a line of greeting cards. She's old. She's cranky. She's sarcastic. She's nasty. She's crude. And I'm sorry if life has been hard for folks and if the senior years haven't been exactly what someone would hope. But let me encourage you, don't be Maxine. Have the grace of God and use it. Develop character. Being over 55 does not entitle you to be ornery. Being over 55 does not entitle you to just yell at everybody else. Being over 55 does not entitle you to just be mean and nasty and say whatever you think as if it doesn't matter here. It does matter how senior folks live. Leave a legacy. Leave the gift of a good name. Let's go to Proverbs and we'll see a second one here. Proverbs chapter 10, please. Proverbs chapter number 10. If you'll take an opportunity to turn there and see what the Word of God has to say. Young person, you're building a legacy. What will it be? Senior citizen, what will your legacy be? Leave the gift of a good name. Number two, leave the gift of a good memory. Proverbs 10 and verse number 7 says this, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." It's a hot, sweltering summer day. It's been in the mid-90s all week long. You're out with your friend and you're taking a walk down the road and you come to one of those stretches where there's no trees. There's no shade. You're going to be out in the sun and it's beating down on the pavement, that little stretch where you're at there. And as you walk along and come to this very, very sunny area, all of a sudden, you smell something. You kind of look at each other as you're out for your walk there and you kind of just, what is that smell? You walk a little bit further and a little bit further, and pretty soon you can kind of begin to hear the zzzz of the flies. And you look, and just up ahead there is some roadkill. You don't have any idea what the thing is. It's been hit several times and the birds have been pecking at it for a while. And you can hear the hum of the flies around it here. And the stench is just nauseating. It's nasty. It's been decomposing in the hot summer sunshine. The smell is just, it's just nasty. Even now in this church without any rotten animals here, you can imagine that smell in your mind right now. You can almost smell it. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. that rotting stench. Come with me to the hog farm. There's 2,000 pigs on the hog farm in the hog confinement that they're fattening up for their special day to be made into bacon and sausage. But that's not the smell I want you to think of. That's not the smell at all, because unfortunately a few of these pigs heading down the road of life caught some sort of disease. Something happened to them. They didn't make it to be bacon. They were hauled out of the hog confinement. You and I walk out around back, as I've done at several different hog confinements. And there in the weeds out back somewhere is a pile of 4, 5, 6 pigs that have already breathed their last week. And now as you get close, you don't smell the hog confinement at all. You smell those pigs that have yet to be buried. You see that they no longer have eyes. You see that the flies are again swarming, and you can smell that stench, that rot of those rotten pigs that are there. The hog farm stinks, but the smell of rot stinks worse. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. 3 days ago, the family ate chicken, and the bones and the skin and the fat and that little scraps of meat are all in the kitchen trash can. They had bananas for breakfast, and those peels are there. There was that container of the leftover vegetables that were leftover too long, and they got dumped into the trash can as well. And of course, don't forget that there was some leftover yogurt that didn't get eaten, and that got thrown in the trash can this morning as well. And the kitchen's on the west side of the house, and that warm summer sunshine has just been gently cooking that trash can, turning it into a pressure cooker of smells all day long. And when you pop open, you put your foot on that little lever, and that comes open. Woohoo! Or you go outside, and you're doing whatever you're doing, and you just open the door and walk back into your house and come into the kitchen. You know that trash can needs to be taken out. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The name and the memory of wicked people is a rotting stench. It is nasty. But I can share a blessed memory that I have of the older woman who was my kindergarten teacher. It was also my third grade teacher in our Christian school. I can tell you of the love that she had for me and how she worked to help me to try to be a leader even as a little kid. Because the memory of the just is blessed. I can tell you about the assistant pastor of the church where I grew up. I think he was probably in his 50s as well, who poured his life into mine, took me aside, invested in my life, and helped me to learn things about being in the ministry. I remember the talks and the challenges and the rebukes and the helps that he gave to me, because the memory of the just is blessed. I can relate to you the older layman in our church who hired me to work for him and taught me a little bit about this and a little bit about that and spent some time with me on Saturdays as I would work for him throughout the school year here. And I can tell you that the memory of the just is blessed. And I ask you, which one will be true of you? Will it be, oh, man? Or will it be a beautiful aroma? Hear this sad tale. 2 Chronicles 21:20. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Sure, he got buried in the city of David, but not with all the kings. And when he left, he wasn't even desired. What will your memory be? What memory will you leave behind? And can I tell you that the Bible makes a direct connection between point number one and point number two? If you want to have a good memory, you have to have, first of all, a good name. Over and over, the scripture makes this connection. Hear these verses, Psalm 9:5. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. See, they're wicked, and he's put out their name. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. Psalm 112, verse 6. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Mark chapter 14, verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. If you want people to have a good memory of you, it happens when you have a good character, when you have a good name. Leave behind a good name, a good character, and you will leave behind a good memory. When you are gone, will your memory be like the awful stench of rot, or will your memory be a blessing and encouragement? What will people say at your funeral? What will your grandchildren tell their children about you? What will your coworkers say about you when you're gone? What will church members have to say about you and how you acted and how you responded and how you served and how you loved Jesus Christ? Leave the legacy of a good name and a good character, and then you will leave the legacy of a good memory. Number three, let's go to Psalm 127. Familiar verses here, Psalm 127. A good name, a good memory. Psalm 127, this powerful little psalm. Number three, leave the gift of a good influence. Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Here is a father that has influence upon his children. Influence is defined as the ability to have an effect. It's a compelling force on something. And in reality, all of us are influencing others. All of us are making an impact on others. What kind of influence will you have? That matters. When you think of a legacy, you think of what kind of influence you've had on others. Our last president left an influence upon our nation. Left the legacy of the Supreme Court ruling to allow gay marriage. It's part of his legacy. And our nation continues to be influenced by that. Our last president left the legacy of socialized medicine. It's his legacy and how he influenced our nation. That's legacy. It's influence. And when your time on earth is done, what legacy will you have left behind? We stand at your funeral. Your kids take turns standing and speaking about mom or dad. They're standing and speaking about dad, and they're talking and they say, "Well, you know what? Dad taught me how to make a buck, and Dad taught me how to invest in rental properties, and man, we took every weekend and we invested in those every Saturday and Sunday, and we remodeled them, and boy, we built a great nest egg." It's influence. Some good, and some of that is bad. Mark Twain was the pen name of Samuel Clemens. As a young man, he fell in love with a beautiful Christian girl by the name of Livy, and he married her in 1870. She was devoted to the Lord, and so in their early marriage, it is said that she wanted to have prayer. She wanted to have prayer at the meal. She wanted to have some family altar. And for a while, Mark Twain, Sam Clemens went with it. But after a while, Sam said this, "Livy, you can go on with this by yourself if you want to, but leave me out. I don't believe in your God, and you're only making a hypocrite out of me." Mark Twain went on, and fame was there, and wealth was there, and travel was there as they traveled around, and he wrote his books and became the famous Mark Twain that you and I know him to be. They were riding high, and Livy got further and further away from her early devotion to the Lord, and finally the fall came. They came upon a time of great and bitter need. Samuel Clemens looked at Livy and he said, "Livy, if your Christian faith can help you now, turn to it." Livy replied, "I can't, Sam. I haven't any. It was destroyed a long time ago." That's influence. You're having influence right now. All of your life you're going to have influence here. Leave the legacy of a good influence. An older gentleman was asked, "What's your goal in life now at this stage?" He answered this, "I want to be the kind of old guy who was missing for me when I was a kid. I want to be that kind of old guy that was missing from me when I was a kid." Hey, listen, where's the little boy that doesn't just talk about how you filled a Sunday school class or some other children's ministry, but not just how you filled in, but how you invested in his life and shaped his life and were a part of his life? Where's that person? Dear older woman, where is the younger woman that you've had for coffee, that you've poured your life into her marriage, poured your life into her life, and invested in her? What is her name? Who is she? Who is the person that you have taught and you have influenced and you've invested in? Dear couple over 55, what is the name of the lost person in your neighborhood, in your sphere of influence, that you have worked to influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ here? Where is the Aquila and the Priscilla who are influencing the young preacher boy, the young person who wants to serve God with his life, like Aquila and Priscilla influenced Apollos? What influence by example have you been to your children and to your grandchildren by your faithfulness to God, by your spiritual growth and faithfulness here? Hey, listen, what is the name of another older person that you've influenced? And they've gone through the valleys, they've gone through the difficulties, and you've been beside them. And if we were to talk to them, they would say, oh, what an influence. I was so discouraged. I was filled with doubt. I was struggling in my life, but they were there and they prayed for me and they cared about me. And you've been an influence in my heart and in my life. Where is that fellow senior citizen that you've influenced with your life here? Influence lasts long after someone is gone. And that's the beauty of it. You can influence someone for good, and long after you're gone, that influence is still going to be there. And God wants senior citizens to be people of influence. You have the wisdom. You have the experiences of life. You've hopefully walked with God for decades here. You have the experiences here, and God wants seniors to teach. Titus chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 says older women are to teach. It says this, that they are supposed to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. The Bible says that mature people are supposed to be teaching. Hebrews chapter number 5 talks about that. And 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to others who shall be able to teach others also. If you're mature in your walk with the Lord, who is the person that you're teaching? Who is the person that you're influencing? Who is the person that you're mentoring? Leave the legacy of a good influence here. Think of the influence of a grandmother and a mother. From 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt, or that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And later on in the same book, he says, and that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures. Who taught him those Scriptures? His godly mother, his godly grandmother, those Scriptures that are able to make thee wise and to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 20 and verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. What kind of influence do you have on other people? Are people more godly because of your influence or less godly? Are people closer to the Lord? What's the name of the person you're influencing? What person would say, yes, they've influenced me. Yes, they've poured themselves into my life. They've mentored me. They've helped me. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leave countless marks for good or ill, ere sets the evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. Leave a legacy. Leave the gift of good influence. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13 and we'll consider our last one here. Proverbs chapter 13. Leave a good name, leave a good memory, leave a good influence. And lastly, leave a good inheritance. Proverbs 13, verse number 22. Proverbs 13 and verse number 22 says this, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, honestly, as I came to this passage and studied it out, I thought, well, this means that if you're a good dad, you're going to do what you can to leave financial blessings for your children. And there may be some aspect of that. But the verse says it from a different perspective, and I want you to get the right view of this verse. The verse starts out by talking about a good person, a good man, a good woman, a good individual. And this good individual is the person that we talked about in our first point. They're the person with the good name, the good character, the good reputation. They're the godly individual. That's the person that he's describing in this verse. And listen, my friend, to be truly good in the sight of God is not something that you and I can naturally do. In and of ourselves, we cannot be good. Oh, we might be good in comparison to other people. We might be good in the views of other people, but we're not good in God's sight. The scripture says there's none good but God. All of our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. We're not good in and of ourselves. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us, then God moves inside of us, and then we can produce good works in our lives because of Him. The scriptures tell us that's when the good works begin, after Jesus comes in. And so this is a good man, a good individual. And this person that is good and godly in his life leaves an inheritance. Why is that the case? Well, remember how things worked in the Old Testament. When a person was godly and when a person did what's right, God blessed them financially in the Old Testament. God brought his blessing. God brought his blessing upon people like Abraham. God brought his blessing upon others. When the children of Israel didn't do what's right, God withheld the blessing from them. And so what the verse is saying is, listen, if you'll be a godly individual, if you'll be a godly person, God will give you such an inheritance that'll pass not only to your children, but on to your children's children as well. But all the rest of the verse says, if you're a wicked person, if you're a sinner here, all this wealth that you're trying to hoard so that you have it to pass it on, God will take it and he'll give it to the righteous, to that good person that the first part of the verse says. If you want to leave an inheritance for your children's children, be a good and godly person. And you know what? It may be that God will allow you to have some financial blessings to pass on, and you may pass on a financial inheritance to them, but it may be that you pass on instead a godly inheritance, a spiritual inheritance to those people as well. Leave the gift of a good inheritance by having a good name, good memory, a good influence, and that's a good inheritance. See, legacy, it's what you leave behind. You've been to those little knick-knack shops, those little country stores where you can get all those little signs that are hand-painted and some of them that are supposed to be hand-painted, but they're made in China. And you've seen all those cute little sayings that you put up in your house and stuff. And they say things like, live, laugh, love. Right? You've seen those little sayings, right? Someone once said it this way, they'll live, laugh, love, and leave a legacy. Are you leaving a legacy that's worth following? If you want to leave behind the right gifts, then you have to leave a good name. You have to leave a good memory. You have to leave a good influence, and you have to leave a good inheritance. But listen, there are some of us in life that aren't even thinking legacy. We're thinking about, hey, life is about fun, and life is about pleasure, and life is about me, and life is about doing all the different things that I want to do with my life. And we're not even thinking that, listen, I have to be a person of good name. I want people to have a good remembrance of me. I need to be influencing people for righteousness. And part of this message needs to challenge you to sober up and get serious and say, listen, my legacy and what I leave behind matters here. It's an important thing here. Get serious about living for others and making me a blessing to others in my life. Has God challenged you about being a good influence on others? What are you doing even during these senior years when you've had these years of walking with God through the valleys and through the difficulties, when you've had this wisdom of walking with Him and spending decades in the Word of God? What are you doing to influence the next generation? What are you doing to influence in other people, to use this wealth of resources and this wealth of time to influence other people? Leave a good influence. Legacy. It's what you leave behind. Will you be leaving the right gifts behind? Legacy. Leave a legacy.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.